Something that is marvelous is something that causes one to marvel. To marvel is what happens when you see or hear, and please remember those two concepts, when you see or hear something and you respond in wonder to what you see and hear. In a Christian context, you respond in wonder and in worship. And these two marvelous messages from angels from heaven that we're going to consider this morning have some striking similarities, but they also have some very important, distinct differences. But both of them, both of these marvelous messages from angels that we'll see this morning, resulted in wonder and in worship of those who heard these messages. The truly sad thing about it is that most people, in the day these angels gave these messages, either missed it or ignored it altogether. And that's so sad about our world today. And so first of all, marvelous message number one, the angelic message of a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger in Bethlehem. This is the message of the incarnation of Christ our Savior, recorded, as we've seen, in Luke chapter 2, at the time of the angelic announcement of Christ's birth. In the first five verses of Luke chapter 2, Luke, being the keen historian that he is, unveils for us some of the really incredible and unbelievable and significant and important providences of God in getting Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem at that time. He was moving men and governors to do things like take a census for the first time and for people to have to go back to their hometown for those censuses. It's very interesting that the prophet Micah had prophesied 750 years earlier that the Christ child would be born in this small town of Bethlehem. And here Luke records for us how God sovereignly and providentially works that out. In verses 6 and 7, we read of the events of Christ's physical birth. Let's just look at those again, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And it came about that while they were there, Mary and Joseph were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and she laid him in a manger. And Luke tells us why. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for them except in the inn. Now, Mary's laying this baby in a manger completely unbeknownst to her what's about to occur very soon. She's just looking around. The hotels are all full. I've got a newborn baby. I can't put him on the ground. Oh, here we are in a shelter. Some of you have heard stories about ladies who couldn't afford a crib, and so they just pulled out and padded one of the drawers in a chest of drawers. It's just what they had. It worked. Mary's oblivious. This is just all she has. And she takes this little baby, and she wraps him in swaddling cloths, and she said, "What can I put him in?" Oh, the drawer. The manger. I'll place the baby in the manger. In verse 8, we're introduced to the shepherds who were out watching their flocks by night. And then verses 9 through 12, there appears a single angel of the Lord, a single messenger from heaven with God's marvelous message. We've read here that the angel stood before the shepherds. And as he did, the glory of the Lord shone around them. This was the glory that was the splendor and the brightness of the majesty and the magnificence of God It was the glory that attended throughout history the presence of God. It was a glory perhaps that made the darkness of the night shine like day. And we wouldn't be at all surprised that we're told here that the shepherds were greatly afraid. I would have been greatly afraid. In verses 10 through 12, we hear this marvelous message from the angel. Look at it in verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Good news is good news, any way you slice and dice it. But not all good news is good news of great joy, of superabundant joy. But the angel's message is, don't be afraid, I'm bringing you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people, Jews and Gentiles alike. For today, in the city of David, this little bitty town of Bethlehem, there has been born for you shepherds, for you, and for you, and for you, he's been born for you, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And every single one of those words is critically important in that announcement. For unto you is born a Savior, a deliverer, a rescuer from sin. Yeah, Joseph, you'll call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. Christ, the anointed and appointed Messiah, the Lord, the sovereign King over all things. And in verse 12, this amazing continuation of this marvelous announcement, the angel of the Lord from heaven mentions to the shepherds, hear this, a very specific sign. They even say this in verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Mary had no idea. It was just the manger. It's just where she could put the baby. And then the messenger from heaven comes and says, this is going to be a sign for you shepherds. You're going to find a baby in Bethlehem wrapped in cloths. And the shepherds are thinking, a baby wrapped in cloths? What kind of sign is that? There might be 2, 3, 4, 20 babies in Bethlehem wrapped in cloth. I mean, that was the typical clothing for a newborn baby. What did the shepherds say? And you'll find that baby lying in a manger, a feeding trough for cattle. Now that was a sign. That was highly unusual because mommies didn't put their babies in feeding troughs. But that's the only thing Mary had. The angels say to them, shepherds, here's what you're to look for in Bethlehem. Go and look for a baby, a male baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. When you find that baby, you will find the Savior of the world. In verses 13 and 14, there's the continuation of this marvelous message, now not by a single angel, but by a multitude of angels, as there occurred the sudden appearance of a multitude of angels. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Obviously, this multitude of angels were marveling at this message. They were glorifying and praising God. They were wondering and they were worshiping. And so in verse 15, after the shepherds had seen and heard all these things, they say to themselves, let's go see this thing the Lord has told us. In effect, they say to themselves, let's go look for this sign. That's what the Lord told us. He told us to look for this sign. So let's go look for this sign of a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And in verse 16, Luke tells us, they see the sign. And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. From Mary's perspective, it was the only place she could have placed him. From heaven's perspective, it was the sign the shepherds were to look for. In verse 16, they found him. And when they had seen this sign, verse 17 tells us, and when they had seen this sign, they made known the statement which the Lord had told them about this child. This was the child they were looking for. And they said to those in the shelter, the angels told us to look exactly for this. This child is our Savior, who is Christ the King. Look at the response of everybody in the shelter in verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds, which were really told them by the angels. They all wondered. That word means they all marveled at these things. That means at what they had seen and what they heard, they wondered and they worshiped. This is the message of our Savior from heaven. Mary specifically marveled. Luke tells us, and Mary pondered all these things in her heart. She's marveling that 9 months earlier, she too had had a visit from a messenger from heaven. And now on the night of her child's birth, God had opened the heavens with angels saying, this is the child. She's marveling, pondering in her heart. In verse 20, we read that the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. They are marveling at the message. In fact, everyone present there, they were all marveling for what they had heard and seen, that the Savior of the world was before them, wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, just as the Lord had said. And friends, well should we all marvel. Well should we wonder and worship at what we see and hear in this passage, because this is God telling us of his marvelous message of grace. Here's how Paul stated it in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. I'm telling you, we should marvel at the incarnation, the marvelous message of God with us. We should wonder and we should worship. And so let's do this together right now by turning in the red hymn book to hymn 179 and singing it together. We're going to sing a word there over and over again in that hymn. It's a recounting of this story in Luke, but we're going to sing in the refrain, glory in excelsis Deo. Glory in excelsis Deo, a Latin term that means glory to God in the highest, or glory in the highest to God. I'm going to ask us to stand together and marvel and wonder. And we sing, glory in excelsis Deo. We're singing, oh God, glory to you in the highest, as we marvel at the message of your Son's incarnation. 179 in the red hymn book. Thank you. seated. So we've seen marvelous message number one, the angelic message of a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Now we'll pass to marvelous message number two, the angelic message of a body not wrapped in cloths and not lying in a tomb. The message of the resurrection of our Savior. And I've said before, between these two marvelous messages, there are some interesting similarities and some very important distinct differences. Let's turn now to the end of the Gospel of Luke, to Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, verse 46, find the account of Christ's death. Luke 23, 46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. It is finished. If that was the end of the story, none of this would be a marvelous message. If that was the end of the story, this would merely be a sad fable that would make pretty Christmas cards and nothing else. But it's not the end of the story. There's another marvelous angelic message that caused other people to go and to see and to hear, and to marvel, and to wonder, and to worship. In Luke 23, verses 50 through 56, whereas before we saw the physical accounts of Christ's birth, here we find the physical accounts of Christ's death and burial. Particularly, let's look at verse 53. Joseph of Arimathea goes and he asks for the body of our Savior. And in verse 53, we find these words. And he took the body down off the cross, Christ's dead body. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth. John in his gospel tells us that Joseph and Nicodemus wrapped it in linen cloths. He makes it plural. Those strips of linen fabric they would wrap a corpse in. And he took it down and he wrapped it in linen cloths. And he laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. Before, we had the typical wrappings of a newborn baby, swaddling cloths. Here we have the typical wrappings for a body to be buried, linen cloths. Moving on to chapter 24, in the first three verses of chapter 24, we find that the Marys, some mothers who, or some women who loved Jesus dearly, went to see his body, but to their utter surprise and amazement, there was no body. They went to the tomb. In verse 4 again, here once again, we have angels from heaven in dazzling glory with a marvelous message. Here again, as verse 5 tells us, we have individuals, these women, who were terrified as these brilliant men from heaven stood before them. And here again in verse 5, there's a marvelous message from the angels to those who were there. Look in verse 5b of chapter 24. The angels asked the women, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" They said to the women, "You came here, didn't you? You came here to find a body wrapped in cloths, lying in a tomb, because that's what Joseph put here. And why are you looking for a body wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger?" Verses 6 through 8. "Remember? Do you remember how he said to you while he was still in Galilee that," verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of evil men. That two, the Son of Man must be crucified. And three, that on the third day he would rise again. And then in verse 8 we find this, and they remembered his words. It occurred to them. This is exactly what he told us to look for. He told us to look for a sign. He told us to look for a tomb that was empty. Dead people don't make tombs empty. And they're going, yeah, we remember his words. Yeah, you remember? He mentioned the sign of Jonah. Remember that? He told us while he was with us. He said, remember the sign of Jonah. Remember how that Jonah was 3 days and three nights, or 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of the fish, and that I too, the Son of Man, I will be 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. And they got it. He said, the empty tomb is the sign of Jonah. Our Lord has risen just as he said he would. And here again, the message receivers, like the shepherds 33 years earlier, went to report all that they had seen and heard. We're told here at first their message seemed like nonsense. But then in verse 12, we find Peter doing this. And Peter arose and he ran to the tomb. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only. Nobody. The linen wrappings by themselves. And look carefully at verse 12 at Peter's response. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home marveling at what had happened. He went home marveling at the message of the angel saying, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. He marveled at the message that there was a body not wrapped now in linens and not lying in a tomb. He marveled at the message of Christ's resurrection. Because Christ's resurrection was proof positive that the life he was born to live, he lived out perfectly and sinlessly according to the law of God. Because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that the sting of death is sin and the power of death is the law. And Christ's resurrection from the dead proved that he was the perfect, sinless Son of God whose sacrificial death paid the price for our redemption for all who believe on him. And so we have these two marvelous messages. The angel's Christmas message of Christ's birth, of a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The angel's Easter message of Christ's resurrection, the message of a body not wrapped in cloths, not lying in a tomb. These are messages of God's good news of the gospel of grace through Christ to all who believe. These are the messages of God with us in his birth and God for us in his death and resurrection. These are the messages of God coming to save his people from the ravages of sin and from the wrath of God. And they are marvelous. And they should cause us to marvel. They should cause us to wonder and worship. And the question I have before us this morning is this: how will you respond to these marvelous messages from heaven? These marvelous messages of Christ's birth and of Christ's death and Christ's resurrection. These messages of God with us and God for us. We know from the angel's message that we should respond with great joy, because I bring to you good news of great joy. Will you respond with great joy at the announcement of the birth of your Savior. We should respond with humility and faith like the shepherds. They said, "Let us go straightway. Let us make haste to see this thing the Lord has told us." That's how faith responds. God makes a promise, and faith says, "Let me make haste to respond to God's promise. Let me respond quickly and in faith to what He's told me." We should respond in humility and in faith. And we should respond with adoring marvel, like all those who heard and saw these messages responded. Like all in the shelter that night, wondered and marveled. Like Mary marveling in her heart. Like the shepherds going away and marveling and glorifying and praising God. Like Peter going to his home and marveling at the news of God's salvation to him and his son. We should respond with adoring marvel. And with that, I invite you to sing with me, "Come, Let Us Adore Him." Red Hymn Book 178. Let's stand together and sing. Then we'll come to the Lord's table. Sing with adoring marvel as you sing, "Oh, come, let us adore him." Well, it's true, those shepherds actually could go and look at a tiny little baby in a manger. They had something to look at. And it was amazing because that was a sign the angels had given to them. Go and look at this. And it's true, Peter had something to make him marvel to go and look at. An empty tomb. And he could go and run to it and bend down and peek into it and see an empty tomb. And we haven't seen the manger, never will. Some of you have been to what some think is the empty tomb, and you've seen that. Most of us never will. But we're not without signs. Our Lord says, come. Take this bread. It's a sign of my body that was broken for you. And come and take this cup of juice. It's a sign of my blood shed for you. If you can't wonder at the sign that the angels gave to the shepherds, if you can't wonder, and I'm not sure what's wrong with you, you can't. If you can't wonder at the sign the angels gave to those ladies, an empty tomb, come and wonder this morning at the sign of our Lord's body given for us and his blood shed. Come and wonder. If you're visiting with us this morning here at Grace Baptist, we're so glad you're here. If you're a born-again, baptized believer and a member in good standing in a church, come and wonder and see and hear and taste the Lord with us this morning. Wonder and worship at the Lord's table today. Those who are helping could come forward, please. Pastor Carol, if you would please stand and give thanks to the Lord for this sign of his body broken for his people. Amen. Amen. Amen.